Neil Cooley on 850-6597.
On Dublin's Q102.
And on Mondays, as usual, we're joined by Dermot Jewell, the CEO of the Consumer Association of Ireland. Good to have you back with us, Dermot. Thank you very much for joining us.
Here.
How's business at your end? Busy, busy, busy?
It's been a busy day, yes. A busy week, actually, last week.
I can imagine, and we're going to be busy probably over the next hour or so as well. An official European Commission study says European manufacturers are exploiting test loopholes to make their cars appear greener than they are. It's called sales, I think, isn't it? It's called marketing, probably, yeah. The analysis from three consulting firms found that cars can be a good deal less fuel efficient than their official figures suggest. And I suppose this is all down to that they put it in the ideal situation. No traffic on the road.
That's exactly it. Very
optimum
smooth
speed.
Roads,
yeah, yeah.
Particular tyres.
Yeah.
This changes it all.
So take everything with a pinch of salt, I suppose, is the thing there. So wondering, of course, how much people are spending on their car per annum. How green is their car? And what about road tax? Is that important to people when they're buying a car? I think it is again now. Once they started to introduce the last taxes to bring up. First, they tell us, buy the green car and we charge you less for tax.
Save your money.
You go out and you do that, and then they tell you, oh, bit of a mistake there. We got to bring your tax in line with everyone else's.
Yeah, and so many people got caught, and so many people are still really bitter about that. And you can understand, and now to have the added insult where it's learned that, you know, the manufacturers use these, I suppose, flexibilities of the words that are being used here.
Yes,
to
absolutely.
It's very well thought out. Flexibilities,
yes.
To make the very, very best of results come up, you know.
No testing it in rush hour on Pierce Street on Friday evening. No fear of that. Not a chance indeed. Are people more conscious? I presume they are when buying a car now that the tax will play a part in how much they're going to spend on purchasing the actual car.
Yes, they are. And to give credit where it's due, as you can appreciate it, any consumer going out to buy a car in a green car, because they don't have the experience of it, they take at face value what they're told is going to happen. So in other words, if it says A in the book, and naturally I appreciate, I'm not having a go at the salespersons, they've been through the manuals, they've been through the books, and they go, okay, this is what I have to tell consumers so that they want to buy the car. And they tell them that, and then at the end, when everybody finds out at the end, well, actually, that's not really going to happen.
It's
unless, you know, as you say, you're driving down a runway your own with the wind behind you.
Beautiful,
it'll be
smooth.
Fine, you know.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable. Just a Facebook comment from Mark Hennessy, who drives an 07 Renault Laguna. As for economic, I think it has a hole in the petrol tank. It's a bottomless pit, but I love the car. He'd be a petrol head, I suppose.
Absolutely.
He thinks, though, he won't buy a petrol car again after this one. You live and learn. I wonder what people do spend per week on a fill. I was talking to somebody leaving this building there last week, and they're putting €120 plus into their car,
yeah,
in petrol.
And that might seem like a frightening amount of money, but it's not, A, when you think of the cost of a tank, and B, most importantly, when you consider that we are in a city, as you've just been talking about there, the amount of time that you're sitting, starting up, slowing down, starting up, braking, it really eats up the juice. It's okay if you're going on a semi-long run, then you'll get a bit of... But it's not that people are wasting money, it's just that it's eating it up. And it's all down to efficiency.
Siobhan Keogh changed to a diesel a few months back. Best thing I ever did. Petrol was costing me €60 a week approximately in a 1.2. The diesel is 1.4 and the cost has come down to €40.
That's impressive.
Well, I suppose diesel is cheaper and you tend to get more bang for your buck in terms of mileage, don't you?
Always.
Which is good. There's nothing really people can do once the laws changed. If you have a green car and the tax bans change, tough. Get rid of the
cars. It's true, the way it is. But it needs to be reflected in the price of the green cars now, because they're so expensive.
Yeah, exactly. You can't have it everywhere.
No.
But also, I wonder if the government bear in mind that, well, they probably do. They probably look at the number of green cars, so-called, and thought, well, maybe we can not have to worry about the people who bought these cars. They won't be angry when it comes to voting next.
That's
of course
a good
they
point. The next one is going to be electric cars, because, I mean, now we see more and more roadside little lights.
The chargers.
So it's, you know, but there's always something parked in front of them, so it's going to be interesting.
Only in Ireland. I tell you, you won't see that in London. It's there in all its glory. Nobody dares park unless they're juicing up.
That's it.
But of course, that's the wonderful thing about this. Now, I hate to do this to you, but we're going with utilities again, and we're going with mobile phone companies. And we've certainly been through a fair few over the last few weeks.
Yep.
Let's see what Alan has been happening to Alan. Hi, Alan, you're in Lusk. What's been happening with you and your mobile phone?
How you doing? I got an upgrade there last July.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. No problems.
Good evening to you. I got an upgrade last July from a mobile phone operator, and the package was included, to my understanding, was include everything. And September to August, they started billing me for the broadband separately.
Oh, okay.
right? And I've been trying to get in touch with them. I rang them 12 times, and I requested that the guy that sold me the package get in touch with me 12 times. He rang me once, but he never left a voicemail. I also asked for a manager to contact me 6 times, and no manager has contacted me.
Oh, goodness, that's not great. And what did they change the package? When they came to you and said, look, we've an offer here for you, they changed your previous package, but you assumed that it would be the same package?
No, what they did, Aidan, was that he rang me up and he said, I was a valued customer of Vodafone for 15 years, and he'd like to give me a good deal.
All right.
He gave me a new phone.
Yep.
He downgraded my package from €80 to €65.
Lovely.
And then he gave me my Wi-Fi for my computer.
Excellent.
All right.
All for €65. But then they started charging me €16.97 a month for the broadband for the computer.
Okay.
Even though I have never used it.
Right. Ouch. Okay.
What do we do here, Dermot?
And tell me this, when they called you, is it your clear recollection that this was, as you say yourself, Alan, an all-inclusive package?
Yes.
Okay.
This happened on the 16th of July last year.
Perfect.
Is that amazing that a company that big hasn't come back to him? One phone call that he knows of.
It is.
And no message left.
It's frightening.
And despite new... What are we, over 20 attempts to make contact with him?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And tell me this, have you been in touch with the regulator at all yet, Alan?
No, I haven't.
No. Well, look, recommend that you do get in touch with Comreg.
And, okay.
And it's better if you... Well... Comreg are fabulous. If you call them and they can't answer at the time, what they will do is they guarantee that they will text you back, and they will do that. They'll call you back. So get in touch with them. Tell them that you've been speaking to us most importantly first, and then tell them what's happened to you, and that you clearly, obviously, a simple resolution is for either you or them to get a copy of the recording of the call.
I asked for that.
Oh, I don't. And did you get it?
No.
Of course you didn't. But they'll get it. And they'll make sure that you get it, if you like, one way or the other. But tell them we're speaking to ourselves, and tell them exactly that you've made these phenomenal amount of calls and been so badly treated, and that we're keen to hear back from you next week. That you've had, hopefully, at least progress, if not a resolution, but most certainly good progress.
Last Thursday, Dermot, when I sent you my email, I sent an email to customercarevodafone.ie.
Oh, right.
And I asked for a phone call back. That was 4 days ago, and I haven't responded.
Goodness.
Now, because they're not talking to me, is that contract valid?
The contract is valid until it can be... You see, right now it's your word against theirs, and the very big frustration is that they're not answering your query, which is leaving you in no man's land, because you have a living, breathing contract. You're using your phone, you're using your Wi-Fi, and you have to pay it, if you like, until it's clarified that you're not breaking your contract.
So you've been paying that $16.97 extra since September.
Goodness, that's awful.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And have you dates and records of all the calls you made to them?
I have indeed, yeah.
Oh, that's
and
fantastic.
I wrote it in. I wrote it into them, and I gave them the dates and the people I spoke to and the time I spoke to them at.
And they still haven't come back?
Still haven't come back.
That's absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? Yeah.
But one thing I will ask, Alan, is that... At the end of next week, if you like, if you haven't had any success, would you at least do me a favor? And you can get this from the guys here. I'd like you to forward that email with the detail of the calls to me, and I'll follow it up as well.
We'll give you Dermot.
That'll be terrific, Dermot. No problem. Yeah,
great. That'd be great.
Now, should I keep ringing these guys, or should I just ring Comreg?
Oh, no. Just ring Comreg once and tell them what's happened and ask them to intervene, that you've gotten nowhere. And we've asked, will they please intervene on your behalf to force them to respond to you.
All right, Alan. Good luck with that.
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you very much.
Talk to you next week. Cheers. Yeah. That's kind of strange, isn't it?
It is. It's such a huge amount of input. I mean, we've had bad problems here, but this is exceptional.
Are they getting so many of this type of complaint in that they're swamped?
Well, I think that's part of it, and they don't have the people to match the calls.
There must be somebody in Vodafone listening will come on and take this one on for us. This, come on, let's get our act together.
Yes.
Okay, from phones to cars. We won't go to planes next. Damon, how are you doing? You bought a car in 2010 with a 3-year warranty. What happened after that?
Hello, Damon. How are you doing? Thanks
good.
For the call.
Pleasure, sir.
It's a big story, okay? I have a 2-year-old car, serviced regularly up to the scratch. On the 8th of January, the car broke down at my wife's employment. We rang the Reynolds Assist, and they sent out the AA in fairness. The AA told us to the nearest Welland garage, which was Welland Bellegarde. We left it with them. Apparently the AA said that the cam belt was broken. So that was fine. I asked the lady on the counter to give us a ring on Wednesday, which is the following day, to let me know what was wrong with the car. So I got no phone call. I rang them a couple of times, I got no answers. I got messages that would be passed on, but no call back.
And the car was still there, was it?
Yeah, the car was there, because they obviously had to
couldn't
look in and make the repair.
Okay. Yeah.
On the Wednesday evening, I eventually got through to them. And they just said that the cam belt was broken, they'd let me know. So, heard nothing then till the 15th, which is the following Tuesday. And the only reason I heard was because I persistently rang them, eventually got an answer. And they told me that a new engine had been ordered, I'd be in on the Wednesday morning. Then, on the February 1st, okay, which is nearly 3 weeks later, they rang me to tell me the car was ready, and I owed them €10 for diesel. So I went in to collect the car. There was no report available for me to send it out to me when the claim was made. They charged me €10 for diesel and rent at the car. The car was literally empty. Didn't even get the tank. The needle didn't even move on the tank.
Right, yeah.
Okay. That morning, the Saturday morning, the 2nd, there was oil all over my driveway.
Great.
Leaked oil everywhere. I went down to them straight away. Went in, I was told by service receptionist that there was nothing they could do for me there. They could send a mechanic out to check the oil. Now, beyond me, why they couldn't bring the car in and have a look and see if it was something that could be fixed straight away.
So
but anyway.
Basically, they abandoned you as a customer.
Correct.
So you have a 3-year warranty with Renault?
Correct. A 3-year warranty with it. On the Monday, I rang on the Monday morning and explained to them that what had happened. I was talking to them on Saturday and she wanted to book me in. Now, I couldn't take a booking in because the car was leaking oil everywhere. So I brought the car down and left it with them. I didn't hear back then until the 7th of February when we got a text from saying to collect the car. So we went in to collect the car. I had to lift the bonnet and have a look, make sure there was no oil leaks on it. And in doing so, I found that the bonnet was sticking and there was damage on the front bumper.
Great.
And when I asked for the service manager, during all this, I've been asking for the service manager to talk to him when he's been avoiding it. I never got one phone call from him, never talked to him once. I did get the general manager on the Saturday, the 2nd. Who said he'd look after and get take care of it.
Where are we now? What's the situation as it stands today?
The situation at the moment is, they had it for 5 weeks, okay? The oil leak is now fixed, but I've now got damage on the bumper, the bonnet is catching when you try to open it, and I've oil off my driveway.
And what did they say to you when you said to them, this isn't good enough, the front of the car is damaged?
Well, what they said to me was, under no circumstances were they paying for repairs of the bumper or the bonnet. That's basically what they said to me. The service manager did, on the day I rang the general manager who said he'd get the sales manager to come out. Now, prior to that, the sales manager I thought was a lady because I asked the girl at the counter to speak to the sales manager. She said she was.
Yeah.
But then it turns out she wasn't.
I understand. But so they're denying the liability that happened on their watch.
Yeah,
they're
correct.
Saying that car was damaged.
If it was an issue with the car, the bonnet was an issue with the car, I would have asked them to repair it.
Yes, of course.
Going on.
Absolutely.
Why would I come back later and say, this is wrong?
Okay. So what do we need to do now, Dermot?
Just to back up one moment on something. So, the engine has been replaced. They've
correct.
Fixed the oil leak, and the problem now is your driveway remains covered in oil and ruin. But most importantly, it's the damage to the car that's the issue.
Yeah, it's only slight damage, but it probably wouldn't take much to fix it.
Yeah,
he just said there was no way on any services was he going to repair it.
Okay. Have you, by any chance, said to him, look, if you're not going to do this, it's going to have to go to the Simi, I'm assuming the garage, it would be. Garage
is Simi, I actually never thought of Simi.
Yeah, if you can go through, I suggest you say to him, if this is not resolved, I'm going to refer it to the Simi tribunal.
Mm.
Because it's not correct that you leave your brand, 2-year-old car have quite a degree of work done with it, and then get it back only to find, that you get it back with an oil leak and with
correct.
No apology and nobody saying, look, we'll resolve you. We have some solution, we'll put it on your driveway. But not with the damage to the bumper, etc. And at any stage, and this might sound a bit strange, but at any stage, is there any picture of your car before it went in or anything like that?
No, there isn't.
Okay.
There isn't.
Well, there's every likelihood that they will have CCTV of your car in the workshop.
They actually haven't, as far as I know.
They haven't, okay.
No, it's a fairly new workshop they have there.
Right, okay. Well, leaving all that aside, it matters not. I would still go back to them, tell them that you've been speaking to ourselves, and we're more than a little disappointed that they're being so abrasive, I suppose, is the best way I'll put it, in relation to the damage. And as you say yourself, it's not a huge amount of money. It's not your fault, and you'd just like it to be remedied. And that
correct.
We're hoping that is, but basic professionalism, that they would resolve it for you.
Yeah, see, I did ask. I was trying to be polite about it. When the service manager did eventually come out to us, he was actually very abusive, very aggressive about it. It was like, I'm only going to talk to you about the bonnet. And I said, well, what about the other bits and pieces? I'm only here to talk about your bonnet. And that was it.
Ah, right.
And
well,
then he turned around and said, you're nothing but trouble since you came here. And all he wanted to know was...
Yeah, you weren't told when you were handed...
I was 5 weeks off the road.
You weren't trouble when you were handed over your money.
Yeah. We didn't handle our money, it was warranty.
Yeah.
But we had
a
rental car, which is courtesy of Reynolds.
Yeah.
Themselves. But the rental company were ringing me all the time wanting to know what was the story of the car. So the rental company wasn't even being informed what was going on.
Wow.
Well, look, I'll tell you what you do.
Nobody.
Yeah, I suggest you have one last approach and say, are you going to do something to lift that stuff off my driveway? And are you going to repair the bumper and bonnet again? As I say, having said that, you were speaking to ourselves, that this would be the minimum. Again, say the Good Supply Services Act, they're providing a service. They should be taking the best of precautions to do it and using it professionally. If they're not going to do it, then tell them, look, I'm going to refer it to the Simo Tribunal and see what they come back with.
Keep
now, again, that doesn't close it down on you. It allows you to see what the Tribunal decide, and then you can take it from there.
I keep in touch with us, David, on that, will you please?
No, just one more query as well. I know it's not really, it's a warranty thing. I was talking to a mechanic about, I just mentioned that it was in there, etc. And I said that the Campbell broke at 45,000 kilometres.
Yeah.
It's supposed to last 160.
Yes.
And he just said to me, oh, they're still doing that. So I'm now in a bit of a situation is it going to break in 45,000 kilometres again next year when my warranty is expired? How would I stand on that?
Well, I suppose when you're putting it in, you ask them for a guarantee.
Well, that's it. I mean, it is now newly refitted.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is say, I want detail of the warranty that's attaching to this now. And if you don't get an answer from the garage, you most certainly should get an answer from the main dealer.
I'd nearly
go
along.
The customer care.
Oh, the manufacturer,
Well, I've been on to them as well, and they've told me they're going to call me back, and they haven't done so yet.
Give them a reminder.
Give them a reminder.
Yeah.
All right,
no
David,
worries.
Good luck with that. Talk to you
good
soon.
Luck very
David.
Much.
Take care. Cheers.
Yeah.
There's David there with his problem with his car and Renault.
Wow.
And again, it boils back to like a car is a very big purchase for most people. So when you buy it and you've spent time saving up, or you've got your bank loan and you're redressing that loan and paying it back, and then you hit a bump like this, you're hardly going to go back to that company to buy another car. So for the sake of small money in a couple of hours in costs, you're losing yourself a whole family and maybe the next generation of people. Because you'd often see sons being recommended, dad always drove this, so therefore, never any problems, I'm buying it.
Yeah, and we always go down there because they look after us. And,
and
looking after somebody doesn't mean that you're giving them hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of money. It's just you looking after them.
Smile.
And this is it. It never ceases to amaze me how wrong certain business get the process of business.
I wonder if Bill Cullen listened to this and getting angry. You know, when he had it and ran it, you didn't hear half of this sort of stuff.
You see, this is it. You take care of the business, exactly.
All right, indeed. We'll take some more of your calls in a moment. Our number, 850-6597, or you can text us if you prefer, 57102 for 20 cents.
Call Cooley on 850-6597. On Dublin's Q102.
Yep, keep those calls and texts coming in to us. If you've had a bad experience at the hands of a mobile company, as we're hearing, or a car dealer, or anything, it could be something in a shop, it could be something that was done in your home, was it painting that wasn't done properly or carried out properly by a contractor, we'd like to hear. 57102 for 20 cent. You can text us, or indeed you can call us, 01850-6597. Now, Siobhan has had a problem with a BlackBerry phone. Evening, Siobhan, how are you?
Good evening, guys. Hi, thanks.
Good. Remind us on this. Your daughter bought it for her confirmation money, or from her confirmation money. What happened?
Well, we went to Vodafone shop, and much against my wishes, but anyway, it was her money. So she bought a BlackBerry phone. Now, she didn't sign a contract or anything because it was just pay-as-you-go.
Okay.
And when we took it home, it was fine. Everything was grand. and one of the buttons was smushed a bit. As in, we did that to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, dropped it or something,
but,
yeah.
That wasn't the problem. What happened was, when I used to ring her, she could hear me, but I couldn't hear her.
Oh, great, okay.
So we took it back to the shop, and the lady was very helpful, and even before I explained what had happened, she goes, oh, yes, 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 that's a common problem with these phones. I'll send it away and get it fixed.
Okay, so great.
Which was brilliant. She did that, and I also said, oh, sure, this button's broken as well at the time, and she said, oh, yeah, that's no problem, just leave it with me. So anyway, to cut a long story short, we went back the next week, and they said, no, we can't fix it because there's cosmetic damage to the phone. So I said, well, hang on a second, I don't need the button to be fixed. It was the mic that's gone on it, not the... Don't worry about the button, she can still use it. No, because the button was smushed, they will not fix it. It's going to cost me €120 to get it fixed.
So they were being selective in their choice of repairs.
Yeah, so basically then I was very irate.
And
I wrote an email to... The lady gave me the direct email address to the people that
very
fixed
good.
It.
Yes.
So I explained that to them, and I said, look, don't worry about the button. I just want the microphone fixed, which is basically a common problem with these phones. So I got one back, an email back, and it says, the phone is out of warranty due to the physical damage to the cosmetics, which the store should have advised you. This voids any warranty, no matter what the perceived fault on the phone is.
Wow, that's fairly
and
harsh,
that was
isn't it?
So in other words, yeah, it was a bit harsh.
You dropped the phone, it's your fault.
Wow.
Basically, well, the lady in the phone shop even said, if there's a scratch even on the, you know, a scratch on the screen or anything, they refused to fix it.
Wow.
Now, I don't know whether that's commonplace or not, but I just think it's ridiculous.
I'm inclined to agree with you. I mean, that's an extraordinary condition to have in a contract, and a very unusual term, which I would almost describe as an unfair term in any contract.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would oust the warranty conditions.
Well, she didn't even have the phone a year, so it's
yeah,
not like it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I understand.
You know?
And Siobhan, tell me this. You have not tried to go to a third party, another repair shop by any stretch?
No, I haven't even picked the phone up. I've left it with them until
right,
I spoke
yes,
here. So.
Yes, okay. Well, look, what's odd about this is the fact that they're quoting a contract term that it's out of warranty. What I would do, and it's probably just the best thing, unfortunately, it's not going to very quickly solve this, but you need to go back to this lady. And
yeah.
and basically say to her, look, we signed a pay as you go, and for a phone, and paid quite a significant amount of money at the time. Where can you tell me? Can you show me? Does it make this point about the cosmetics damage? And that being the case, why did you not bring it to my attention?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very, very important. And most importantly, when I did speak to you, you didn't seem to know this.
Yeah.
Now, the point I'm making in all of this is that if you say to her you were speaking to myself and to Aidan, and that we understand to a degree where this is all going, but that said, a very, very simple issue has arisen, which is a cosmetic detail that you don't even want fixed. You're simply asking them to fix under warranty the other element of the phone that's broken.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
that we would hope that they will come back with a positive approach to that. And if not, then I would recommend that you, and we've recommended this to somebody earlier on this evening, Siobhan,
mm-hmm.
I recommend that you get in touch with the consumer division in Comreg, the regulator, and tell them what's happened, and that this, from our point of view, is a very, very unique and different approach if you like, for a refusal to repair.
Okay.
Comreg.ie is the website. You can have all the contact details are there. And come back to us next Monday or the Monday after and let us know how you get on.
I will. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very
appreciate
much.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks indeed.
Bye.
That's a very unusual one. It really is.
It's kind of very selective in its approach.
Yeah,
it's
I've heard all sorts of excuses or reasons. I won't say excuses, but this one I have not come across before, and it's very, very unusual.
Bizarre. Bring it into GSM Solutions in Upper Abbey Street. They say it's a common problem and a lot of shops won't cover it. GSM hear it all the time, so GSM sound like that they might be able to do something there.
She needs to get the phone back to do that, you see.
Yeah,
I think that's what
and
she was
also
saying.
Suppose there's the worry that if they do go down that route, they'll lose any warranty they had, I suppose.
Well, they haven't got one. This is what basically they're saying, the warranty no longer exists, which I find very strange.
We've got great listeners out there. Someone else suggests Full Fat Coke will remove that oil from the driveway. So get a couple of bottles of Full Fat Coke, shake it up, spray it over and sweep it off. I'm not sure if that actually works, but we'll take it at face value when the offer was accepted. And thank you very much to the texter who sent that one in.
There'll be people going out and pouring oil on their drive to see if they can work.
See if it'll work.
Brilliant.
Indeed. best of luck with that one anyway. Keep them coming to us. Text us 57102 for 20 cents, or indeed you can call us 850-6597. We'll read some more out in a couple of minutes.
Call Cooley. Have your say. Call 850-6597 or text 57102 for 20 cents.
Dublin's Q102.
We have an update on the oil situation. Penny says it's actually cat litter spread over the oil than any kind of carbonated soda poured over it, and the cat litter then absorbs the oil. Okay.
Wow.
Thanks for that, Penny. So should the Coke not work on its own, it's obviously, this is another way to do it, is the way to do it. The Vodafone repair, you might be able to answer this. It's the phone manufacturer that provides the warranty, not the network. The lady damaged the phone, why should Vodafone fix it for free, says Jane.
No, but that's the point. She's not looking for the phone to be fixed. There is a problem with it.
Yeah.
That she said she doesn't want it fixed because they did it themselves, and that's fine. They will leave it like that. It's the broken microphone that they want fixed.
That's under warranty.
It's under warranty.
And they didn't damage.
They won't look at it. It's crazy.
The microphone stopped working.
Yes.
By
its own device.
Okay,
yeah.
So that is under warranty. And that should be fixed.
Absolutely.
Free.
Yeah.
Okay, and just to remind that texter that. The company then said no, because you damaged the phone earlier, we're not fixing anything. The
warranty. That's exactly it, which is an easy out clause.
Yeah, it's a bit of a...
Unless you give us €120. Oh, come on. Next.
All right, let's talk to Pat. Hiya, Pat.
Hiya. How are things?
Good.
Yeah, go on.
It was the mole mapping. You were having problems with that. Talk to Dermot about it. Explain what happened. You went in and you got the mole mapping done. The discs that went back to your doctor were blank, so no record for your doctor to have a look at them.
Exactly. We paid a fee of €199 to get this mapping service done.
Right.
And they presented us with the disc at the end of the thing and said, take this back to your doctor, let him have a look at it, and in the interim, we'll send it to our dermatologist to have a read of the pictures.
Right.
And recommend a course of treatment.
Okay, so this is the
doctor.
And how old is your young lad?
He's 26.
Okay, 26, and obviously moles can be very worrying and can cause stress. There's a lot of pressure there going on.
Of course.
And your doctor, what did he do?
Well, the doctor had a look at the thing and he decided, well, hold on a minute, we'll check with this. So I rang back and I told the lady, excuse me, and I said, there's nothing on the disc. Oh, I'm sorry, I apologise, I sent you the wrong disc, I gave it to you, you know, I apologise, I accepted it.
Okay.
He said, I will send you a second disc. So a second disc did arrive, we brought it back to the GP, blank again.
Ah, good night.
So he decided to investigate further.
Right.
First of all, he rang them, and the phone rang out. Then he decided to fax them, no reply whatsoever. So at this stage, he was getting a bit browned off and decided, I'll tell you what I'll do, I'll check with your medical council.
Right,
okay. See if they're registered, and drew a blank.
Uh-oh.
Exactly.
All right. This is now a tricky one because we're into the legal area now. Yes, no, he said, she said. What do we do? Do we contact this company, Dermot? And
Pat, have you gone back to try and find this company, if you like to talk to them?
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, the company doesn't exist.
Right,
we found it extremely hard to find the place initially.
Okay.
Right.
And it's situated in a very busy place, but at the same time.
It's not obviously. You know? Okay.
But have you gone physically back to see them?
No, I haven't. No.
Okay. Well, obviously, you can imagine what I'm going to say. First of all, I recommend that you do that.
Okay.
That's one. How did you pay for this?
Sorry?
How did you pay?
Cash.
Okay, I hate that.
Yeah. but you got a receipt?
Yes, I do have a receipt.
Okay,
okay, that's good. And the receipt, does it have sort of, you know, a registered number or anything like that on it?
It does. Right,
okay.
It has a registered number on it, like, and a company name and, you know, the usual.
Everything you would expect, yeah.
Normal standard shop.
I understand.
So step one is go back and find out.
You realistically, the step one, as Aidan says, go back, knock on the door, say, hello, remember me. Those two discs, blank. I want a third disc. That's assuming somebody answers the door to you now, Pat. I want a third disc. I'd like it now. And before I take it away, I would like you to, A, do two things for me. One, show me the programmes and show me the pictures on the disc. And two, where are the records from the dermatologist that you sent it to, and who is the dermatologist?
Yeah, because you've paid your money for that service.
So ask for those two. Now, that's the positive side to it, if you like. They're there, they open the door, and they go, Pat, how are you? We've been trying to get in touch with you. And you get that element of detail, and you can solve the problem then. The alternative
They did send us a letter a few days later, and on it, it said quite clearly that this individual had reviewed my son's pictures.
Right.
And his recommendation was to return to the clinic at 3 monthly intervals and pay a further fee.
Right.
And I just thought, hey, hang on a minute.
What's this about?
What's
this about? There's no actual course of treatment recommended, whether it was laser treatment, ointment, lotion.
But before you even consider that, you need to get the discs and you need your own doctor to give his opinion.
You do, don't you? Absolutely. Yeah. And as a matter of interest, you were talking about the medical council. Did you check if the dermatologist reported?
Yes, that's what he done. He checked all relevant bodies on it.
And he didn't come up, or he or she didn't come up. Okay.
No.
Look, obviously, this kind of is starting to smell a little. So, what I would do is try to find that company if they're there, if they're trading, and if you can get a disc. It's really important at this stage that you get a disc, because
if we get the disc, paid for it.
Well, if you get the disc, then once you have that disc and the dermatologist report, I would suggest, highly recommend, that you then go to the medical council and say, this is what we got, who are these people?
Right, exactly.
Because I would worry about the qualifications and the standing.
If there's a problem there with the medical council, we'll then go after them on behalf of Pat?
Well, yes, but most importantly, at that stage thereafter, there will be a number of actions that they will, as the medical council, they will want to take. So they will get in touch with relevant and important authorities.
Okay. And Pat, when you drop back to them, if you can do that this week, tell them you'll be back with us on Monday, and they're welcome to participate. They're welcome to ring us if they want, or we call them, okay?
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Talk to you next week.
Take care.
That's very worrying and frustrating from a
parent's
point of view.
Of course it is, because it's a serious issue. That's why they went.
Oh, it is. It's draining as well. I mean, poor Pat. I mean, hopefully he'll get that resolved.
Absolutely.
Listen, this thing's getting out of hand in a nice sort of way. Hi, lads. I'm a mechanic. Washing powder is best to get oil off the driveway. So there's another one. If the driveway has small cobble lock bricks, you can turn the bricks upside down, take one out at a time and turn them around. This is all on the back of one of our callers earlier on, whose car leaked oil after it had come back from repairs and his driveway's covered in oil. It's David who was in touch with us earlier. So David is hoping that the problem that was caused by the garage...
This is all getting very positive.
Will be dealt with by the garage. But in the meantime, our texts have been very kind and given us an insight into how they can cure, or how he can do this. Let's take a quick break and then we'll talk to Michael.
Call Cooney. Have your say. Call 850-6597.
Dublin's Q102.
All right, consumer issues tonight. Dermot Jewell is here with us, Consumer Association of Ireland, and Michael is in Donaghmede, the problem with furniture. What happened, Michael?
Well, you exchanged a suite there back in November. I had a previous one and there was some problems where I saw the exchange for me. But coming up to Christmas, when we were rearranging the furniture, for putting the decorations in that up.
Yeah.
We noticed there was a tear in the single seater.
Okay.
So I rang the shop and they got back to me and told me that the manufacturer wouldn't, or the supplier wouldn't have anything to do with it because it was over a month. And I left the shop and they got back to me then and they told me that what they would do was get somebody to put a piece into it and glue it.
So now, they'd repair it?
Well...
Even though it's a new suite of furniture?
Yeah, it's only a new... It was only delivered in November.
Yeah, that can't be right, can it, David?
Now...
Or is it?
Further to that, I want 120 to do it. and the shop said that they'd pay half as a gesture.
Right. Okay.
Now, I don't think that's quite right.
I know, you were adamant that you didn't do that, but they're also sort of saying, actually, hang on, we didn't do
that. It's actually like a Stanley knife went through the back of it. They admitted that it was a knife that done it.
Ah, right, okay. And
of course, they said that their delivery persons, excuse me, don't use knives. So I'm at between a rock and a hard place at the moment.
Yeah, big time, yeah.
Okay, Michael, just whereabouts on the single seater is it? Is it at the back, underneath, on the
back
side?
Of it, yeah.
At the very back of the chair?
Yeah.
Okay. And I suppose, just so that I get a picture of this in my mind, if we were to deliver this chair, I'm assuming the chair was delivered, they took the wrapping off, and they did it go into a corner, is that it?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So look, I would go back to them and tell them you were speaking to ourselves, and that whilst they acknowledge that their drivers or delivery people don't use knives, I would make the point back, well, neither do I, and I certainly...
Well, that's what I was going to say, because...
Absolutely.
I paid $2,000 for it, and I'm not going to go out and pay $2,000 and then run a knife down.
No, absolutely not.
No, of course not.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course not. This is it. But that what you, I can see, I see where they're coming from, which is, well, if we take 50% of the blame, you take 50% of the blame. That's not really equitable. I would make the point to them that this likely happened and has gone unnoticed, but that it likely happened before the delivery stage. And that is that it happened either at the manufacturers or at the packers, whoever was wrapping this thing in whatever foam or plastic it came in. And that therefore you did not notice it until only a month later, which is not a huge amount of time. So I would go back and say to them, look, we think, having spoken to myself and to Aidan, that we think it's reasonable for them to assume that it was neither yours or their fault, and that they go back to the manufacturer and say, you need to replace this chair.
Well, the way I was looking at it, they either replace the back of it. It's not the whole chair.
No, just, well, they can easily replace the back, but not at your cost. Because, as I say, they can't prove they didn't do it, and neither can they prove that you did it. So it makes, to be fair about it, I think it won't cost much for them to repair the back of it. It would be small money. They could probably get somebody to come out and do it on site, and it resolved the problem. But tell them that we've recommended that you go back to them and make that point to them, and that we're hoping that as a sign of goodwill, a gesture of goodwill, that they will carry out the repair free of charge.
Yeah, well, I was looking for it to be either recovered, the back of recovered, or replaced.
Well, that would be a repair. But as you say, if they can repair it and by replacing, by recovering the back, then that's fine. But other than that, it still holds up as a potential case to take to the small claims procedure to have it remedied.
Yeah. Back to them and then back to us. Is that okay?
Well, I've already sent you two emails, Damon, and there's two photographs of the chair on it. So if you can pick them up in your office.
Right. Have a look. And we'll
talk. You can see the damage on it.
Yeah,
I'll get back to them during the week.
Please do
go
Michael.
Back to them.
And
we'll
talk to you again on Monday next.
Okay, thanks. Here's a lot.
Michael, have a good evening. Thanks indeed. Right, thanks indeed. That is our last one this evening. Thanks for all your texts and calls. Looking at your website over the weekend, by the way, it is very impressive.
Thanks,
one of the things I like about it is the fact that if I'm going to buy something now, I can do the tests, which is good. I can check what you guys and that's it's
delighted to hear.
Yeah, it's good. It's because we're looking for something in particular, and we said let's have a look at it and see if it's on it, and it was.
And actually, we're going to be adding to it shortly because I'm delighted you brought it up, because we'll be trying to get consumers to visit the site more. They don't have to be members,
right?
But we're going to try and run some polls.
Very good.
Where we can get and all this, it's only going to be a yes or no. It won't be hard, just to tell us what they think, so that we can say, well, we canvassed and a lot of consumers believe this is the case.
All right, thecai.ie.
That's us.
All right, and obviously non-members can access, but if you're a member, you've got complete access to the whole site.
Absolutely.
Save yourself a few quid there in the long run. All right, thanks indeed, Dermot. Talk to you next Monday. Have a good week.